the thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
don't! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
Welcome to another week, another episode, another edition of the Computer Corner. We're here for the next 2 hours to talk to you about technology, about computers, about issues in your life that have technology at the center of them. And we invite you, of course, to participate in the show, get involved. You can call up, you can ask questions, you can jump on the website and ask through many ways there. You can jump in on the blog, you can go on Facebook, Twitter, whatever it is you want to do. We're here to hook you up, help you out, and to hopefully give you some knowledge and some information on things that you didn't know before. So here's how you can participate. The website, datadoctors.com/radio. datadoctors.com/radio. Easy enough to get there. The phone number, 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. And the lines almost always fill up very quickly. So our recommendation is that if you're interested in jumping on the phone, you dial up now and get yourself a slot. Otherwise, listen for people to hang up as the show progresses, as we speak to them, help them out with their issues, and then you can jump on again. 602-277-5827 is the number for you. If you've got questions about your technology, if you're thinking today's a hot day, I want to do some inside stuff, maybe clean up some things, or maybe something a little bit more along the lines of what we're going to talk about today on the show, amongst other things. Today's theme, personal cybersecurity. And at first glance, may or may not mean a lot to you, but the kinds of things involved in cybersecurity are things that many of you ought to be practicing if you're not already, and that has to do with having proper firewalls in place. What is a firewall? What does it do for you? How does it work? What's too much and what's not enough? Is there such a thing as too much? We can talk about those things. Of course, antivirus and anti-spyware software. If you're a fan of Apple computers, maybe that's less important. We've got an Apple expert with us here who can help walk us through and talk about what's important there. We'll ask him what he's got on his own Mac, because that probably tells you quite a bit. And beyond those things, what are just sort of the rules of the road? And we talk about these things from time to time, but it changes fairly often, and so I think it's worth revisiting. Of course, your call, your question, your issue need not necessarily be about those things. It can be about whatever it is, from school's over and is now a good time to buy new? I've been thinking about it. I've heard about Windows 7. Should I wait for them? What about Windows Vista? Do I load Service Pack 3? Should I wait? Yeah, all these kinds of questions you have. Or I want to get this thing cleaned up. It's running really slow. I don't really want to spend money on a new computer. Does it make more sense to fix my old one, given what's going on in the world and the economy and people wanting to save and conserve? For you do-it-yourselfers, you can call up with questions about how to do various things. And we'll talk about those things. Again, the number 602-277-5827. Now, before we go any further, a quick intro. If you listen to the show anytime in the last, I think we're going on 13 years or so, you'll know that for years and years and years, you would hear Ken Colburn and myself, Brandon Disney. We were here each weekend together. And somewhere along the lines, we figured out that, well, gosh, during the week we're busy with stuff and coming in on the weekends, and maybe we should split this up and try to bring some more people in and maybe mix things up for ourselves and for you, the listeners, and make this a little bit different, a little bit more interesting. And so now you'll hear one of the two of us sort of anchoring, if you will, and then we bring in various people all around the Data Doctors organization. And then this week, Robert, he's been on before, and every time I throw out his last name, I'm sure I'm going to butcher it, but then I do a good job with it. Robert De Erizio.
Perfect again.
See? I'm getting there. So he's here to help answer questions and help out with whatever your technology concerns and needs and things are. And then just to make sure we're covering all of our bases from the dark side to the bright side, and you can figure out which is which. We won't make that decision for you. We've got Lewis Georges again from Mac Media. Lewis.
Coming from the dark side, right? That's always the case.
I didn't say which one was the dark side.
Always have to throw jabs at me.
I'm not throwing jabs at you, man. Come on. So we think it's good to bring, I mean, as the world progresses, the Apple and certainly the Mac influence becomes stronger and stronger. And I'm sitting in front of a computer that's a MacBook that I own. So obviously I don't think it's too much of the dark side.
Exactly. Apples and oranges, potato, potato.
And funny enough, I as a lot of people know, you can buy a Apple computer and you can load Windows operating systems in addition to the Mac operating system that comes on it. And I did that. And I think I've used the Windows portion of what I've loaded a grand total of maybe an hour the entire time I've owned it. So I could remove it, uninstall it, and probably not miss it. At the same time, if I was trying to use it for every part of my daily life in business, there would be a few things that I'd be stuck without. And so I like having the choice. I like having both. I like having options.
Well, it's nice to have flexibility.
Yes. I still can't figure out a need or a want or a desire to add Linux into the mix. I've played with it a little bit. I certainly know how to poke my way around and do things
Ubuntu
I need to do.
No Ubuntu there.
Yeah, I don't see a need other than it's sort of interesting and sort of cool. So maybe there's people out there who think I'm nuts and they can give us a call and tell us about how Ubuntu and the rest of the Linux world should unite. That's cool too.
Don't get those Linux people started. Because they're worse than the Mac people.
They're worse than the Mac people. So, but having choices, I can also see from a outside of me, sort of the regular Joe user, I could see where it might be a little confusing to switch back and forth between the Windows and the Apple world because there's some differences. There's some things that sort of inherently are different in the way things work and really the logic and thought process that goes behind how things are put together. The best example I can tell people about, if you've played in both worlds or you're thinking about going from one to the other, if you've ever used and experienced WordPerfect versus Microsoft Word. In Microsoft Word, it's very common that you will type something and then if you want to make it bold, you don't go and turn bold on and then start typing. You type what you want, highlight it, and make it bold, right? You do it sort of in what I'll call inverse logic. But people have become used to that, so that's now the standard. You get the guts of your content out, and then you go back and format and highlight and bold and colorize and do whatever it is you're going to do, right? And in the Mac world, if we're going to use that analogy, things work sort of backwards from that in a more intuitive way, but it's in a weird way less intuitive because we've become so used to this opposite world that we live in when it comes to Windows.
It depends on how you were molded.
Right. And so things also become, I find myself constantly right-clicking in a Mac world. And by default, that's not something that's there. In fact, you know, my MacBook has one big, huge button that is also the trackpad. And I set it up that in a corner, the bottom right corner, is my right-click. So it's an area that's sort of right-click because I'm so used to doing it that I just had to have it. But you don't have to have it in the Mac world. It's something we're used to having, so we think we have to have it, right?
So you do a control click, you get some additional options, but at the same time, you don't necessarily need those options. So
if people didn't know better, they'd think this was a show all about the differences between Windows and Mac. It's not. It's about whatever you want it to be about. But we're going to touch on and talk about cybersecurity as we progress through the show. And, of course, your calls, your questions, your issues, your consternation at 602-277-5827. A quick timeout here. When we come back, straight to your calls. Looking for a simple way to create demos, tutorials? You're somebody. You know what I'm talking about, right? You're the guy that people call up and say, hey, I'm trying to do this. And after you get that same call for that same thing more than three times, you think to yourself, okay, I got to document this really quick. And so next time somebody asks for it, I'll just send them the doc or point them to it at my shared workspace or whatever it is.
You could use that with almost anything in life. Anything
right.
That's repetitive.
Right. So
document it.
You want to quickly document things. We discovered a cool little program that's out there that lets you easily capture what's on the screen and go back and add in voice and or text to describe things, and it's free. And it's cool. And if you were a newsletter subscriber, you'd already know about it. And if you're not, I'll tell you how you can find out what it is. Datadoctors.com. Click on the free help center, then where it says weekly newsletter, right there where you're about to subscribe, look to your right-hand side. You can see the newsletter archives, and so you can see the most recent newsletter, the one sent yesterday. That exact tip, but why have to go through all that to get those tips? Why not just subscribe while you're there and get all the great ones in the future? It's easy. It's simple. I don't see any ads in this thing. Do you see any ads in there? It's three pages of stuff, right? We spend time, we collect things that we find of value, of use, stuff about security, how to make your computer run better, keep you out of trouble, help you learn the rules of the road, that kind of thing. It's basically an extension of this show.
Well, I think the best part of that is it's free.
It is. So check that out, datadoctors.com. Click where it says, any place you see where you can subscribe, just click there and you're going to find the newsletter archives and that tip and other stuff. We'll talk about some of those things, kind of weave them into the show as we progress. Cool. All right. Let's go to the phones before we talk a little bit about cybersecurity, because a lot of people are online already and ready to talk. We need to hook them up. First up is Troy on the computer corner. Troy, welcome.
Hey, good morning. I just recently purchased a new HP computer with Windows Vista, and my previous computer, I had Zone Alarm, and I also had a product called Registry Mechanic, and I never really had any problem with either of those programs. My new computer came with Norton, and Norton seems extremely similar to the Zone Alarm, and I guess I'm wondering, is the Norton adequate? Should I be looking at something else? I'm guessing maybe you guys may not promote one brand over another, but
well,
considering the Zone Alarm?
You got about 12 questions in there, so let's back up a little bit and see if we can address a few of these at a time. Okay. First, Zone Alarm is a firewall program.
Okay.
That's the beginning and the end.
Which means he's on subject.
So, well, but that's only one of a few components that you need. Now, today, Zone Alarm has introduced, not today, but recently they've introduced additional antivirus, anti-spyware options and things. To my understanding, those are not their products. They're packaged products, and they've rebranded them. Zone Alarm was a fine firewall, and it had its place in time years ago. I believe that the reality today is Windows has a fairly decent firewall built in. The version of Windows you have has additionally Windows Defender, which is not really a firewall, but it's another layer of protection already built in. And most likely you're on a high-speed broadband connection. Am I right there, Troy?
Correct, yes.
And do you have more than one computer on that connection?
No.
Okay, many people do, and then they have what's called a broadband router to make that happen. And when you do, that's another level and layer of security. And so for many people, I believe Zone Alarm is probably going a little far, but it's sort of on a personal basis, and whether you really, the added benefit to Zone Alarm is it will alert you to activities as they occur in real time rather than just prevent.
Okay.
And so for people who really want to know exactly what's going on with every click, that can be nice. For some people, that can be very annoying. Again, that's a preference thing. Outside of that, then, we talked a little bit about, you spoke about this registry mechanic, and I'm going to give you a quick... Well, my take on anything that claims to be able to optimize and modify and enhance and fix the registry, I'm not a fan of any products that do that. We see thousands of computers in our shops across the country every single month. And I can tell you there are people that come into to our shops regularly that didn't have problems until, and if we fill in the blanks, the words after and until, many of them come into the category of, I had this little problem and I made it much worse by purchasing this program that was supposed to magically cure my ailments.
Well, then that little program really helps out your business a lot.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, at the end of the day, these are computers that they're like cars where they need service and maintenance. And so at some point, that's what the business that we are really in is all about. And if you want to accelerate that, then there are certainly ways to do that, and I think programs like Registry Mechanic do that. As far as our choice of antivirus software, Why don't we hang on to that question? We're going to take you back on the other side of the news break because that's a question a lot of people have. What's the best? And my answer may surprise you a little bit. And so stay tuned for that. Also, obviously, more of your calls and questions, 602-277-5827. Stick around. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. We're talking about cybersecurity just a little bit. Before we went to break, we were talking with... Oh, he's gone! He went away!
Well, we can still finish up the conversation.
I don't remember what was his name. The guy we were talking... Troy! Thank you, Pete. Without Pete, the show would be nothing, literally. So we were talking with Troy, and he had like 12 questions. I think we addressed half of them, and we were left with the last, which was... The new computer I got came with Norton antivirus. And really, Norton antivirus is probably not all it came with these days. Very few antivirus programs are just antivirus programs. They almost always contain additional items to include anti-spyware and anti-adware. And so the whole thing now is called anti-malware. And a lot of times they have a firewall, and then sometimes they have anti-phishing and anti-farming. And then they also have spam filter. I mean, these things have gotten nuts, right? They're 45. It's the Swiss Army knife of security software. And while that sounds great, you realize each one of these things running on your computer is taking away from that new processor and all that new memory and all that hard drive space that you just bought, plus your high-speed internet connections getting eaten up by all these things trying to update themselves. And
seriously, how many background tasks can you have going at once?
We see all the time, people come into our shops, and one of the first things we look at when they're talking about their machine, and man, this thing really seems to run slow. And anybody listening right now in front of their computer, you can do this. Do the old three-finger salute, Control-Alt-Delete. Up's going to come a couple of choices. One of them is Task Manager. Click on that, and then click on the Processes tab. And make sure if there's a little checkbox in the lower left where it says Show Processes from All Users, check that checkbox so that it's on. And we see people all the time that come in with machines that have 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 120 processes. Each process, understand, I'm not telling Lewis, I'm telling everybody listening, that's a program running on your computer. And this is before we've opened any programs, right? You're not actually able to do anything yet other than look at a cool background. And some of these machines have more than 100 things already running in the background, already going on.
So when you start up your computer, you've got to wait for all these things to start up and get going before you can actually do what you want to do.
Right. Worse than that, all those things are running while you're doing what you're doing, which means they're all sort of distractors at best and resource hogs at worst. This is no different than you walking around your house and looking and seeing... You got the air conditioning running, and you're wondering, gosh, my electric bills sure are high. And you've got huge gaps under your doors. Half your windows don't seal up and close. By the way, one of the kids left the garage door, you know, out to the garage wide open. And I mean, this is what's going on in people's computers, and they think that's normal. They think that's okay. And so we go through, we clean them up. We're seeing machines. We can get them down to mid-30s as far as programs running because there are some things that need to be running. Your antivirus software, it's a necessary evil. We need that, right? It's got to be there. Windows itself inherently has stuff going on. You've got your special printer that when you push a button on the front, it starts doing whatever it does. Some of these things are conveniences, and they're worth the price, quote-unquote,
those
pay.
Multi-functions with the...
Right, the 26 buttons and flashing colors.
400 megabyte drivers that...
Yeah, so all these things add up, and the point of all this is that when you look at antivirus software, it's gotten out of control in a lot of cases, and Norton, which is what this guy had, is, in my opinion, one of the bigger offenders. What we use in our shops, what we sell customers, what I have on my home computer and in on my MacBook when I'm running the Windows OS is not that product. In fact, it's not any of the top three as far as the biggest names out there. And don't let the fact that they're the biggest name and the best known confuse you and make you think that they are the best. They're just the best known, which means they're good at marketing. and they've been around a long time.
So just because they win the popularity contest doesn't make them good.
Right. So if you want to know what I run, it's none of those. It's not Norton. It's not McAfee. It's not Trend Micro. It's something that's a little thing called WebRoot, which used to be this little specific kind of malware prevention company. And they turned into they have an antivirus and a spyware and a simple firewall built into a package, and that's it. And it's clean and simple, and it's a small footprint, and it's effective. And most importantly for me, when it detects a problem, the message that it pops up in front of, not me, because I know how to answer the crazy question that's asking in technobabble, but the question it asks my wife, who has to make a choice, and I have to live with the consequence of her choice, the question it asks her is in plain English, and she knows how to answer it, and it's yes or no. It's not a, should we not reference the module at 42-14-3, and your choices are okay or cancel. That's not even yes or no. They're asking you a yes or no question, and it's okay and cancel are the choices. Some of these programs are that bad. So anyway, not to get on a huge soapbox that I think I already did, but beware the programs that are the Swiss Army knives of everything and anything. It's too much. Calm down. And many, many computers don't come with anything more than a trial, and usually 90 days. And so at some point, you're going to be forced to spend some more money. And just because it's convenient and easy, because it's already there, and all you have to do is give them a credit card number, you might look at other options rather than be tempted to just take what's already there. There's a reason it's already there, and there's a reason they actually, it didn't come for free. It's worse than that. They paid to be there, in the case of Norton or McAfee. They paid to lower the price of the system. Probably they didn't pass that on to you. They probably just went ahead and made a little bit more money, but they paid to be there. So be careful of those things. That does sort of touch on cybersecurity a little bit in a weird way. Shall we back to the phones?
Let's grab another.
All right. We've got Mike, who has issues and questions about hard drives. Mike, welcome to the Computer Corner.
Hi. Thank you. I am trying to clone several hard drives. I have a little computer lab for a small school in Mesa, and I do this every year. I clone a known good hard drive to the other lab computers. This year I'm having issues.
Okay.
And I'm going crazy trying to figure it out.
So you've got one drive that you want to make a bunch of copies of so that all the computers are sort of starting at the same base?
Yes.
Okay. And the problem you're having with doing that, well, first of all, what do you use to do this cloning?
It's Windows XP Pro that I'm using, of course. And I'm using the Western Digital data lifeguard tools.
Okay. I'm going to suggest that you... it's a free tool that comes with many Western Digital drives when you buy new big ones, and it's supposed to help you migrate data from the old to the new. And some of these programs are sort of notorious for only working with certain size drives, for locking down to only working with a single manufacturer, those kinds of things. The tools that we use sort of in the industry when we want to do this kind of drive cloning, there's two of them, and you can sort of take your choice, and I'll throw both of them out. One is made by Symantec, and it's called Ghost. The other is made by a company called Acronis, and it's called True Image. The one I prefer is True Image. It's a little bit less cost, and I think a little bit easier to use.
Okay.
So these programs are not expensive. You can go and download either of them, and I think you can even get a trial so you can try it out, make sure it's going to do what you want from websites. But Acronis, spelled A-C-R-O-N-I-S, so just go search that on Google. I think less than $50 you can buy either one of these. And it's going to make your life much easier. You can also store an image. So rather than having to go drive to drive, you can go ahead and make an image that you save on, let's say, for example, a DVD, so that in the future, you don't have to pull out drives and work with multiples. You can just put a DVD disc in and go from that DVD to a hard drive. So you can make sort of a permanent archive copy that you can use over and over again.
That sounds convenient.
There's some other options, too, with being able to do it across the network and various things. And so you get some extra options. It's going to be probably significantly easier. And my guess is that whatever issue you're running into right now is a simple limitation of that free software that came with a drive or you downloaded from Western Digital. And that issue is probably going to go away as soon as you move to one of these products.
Well, in fact, right now I'm doing another image using Ghost 9 to try and see if that's the issue. One of the issues I thought it might be was the restore system function, so I turned it off. And I'm using Live1 Care.
For any of these options to work properly, the disk you're trying to clone from cannot be in use, meaning really what has to happen if you're going to go disk-to-disk cloning, you have to have a machine that is booted to Windows, and separate from that have the disk you're going from, so the source, and the disk you're going to, the destination or the target, in addition to the machine that's also running Windows, right?
So you're talking about three drives?
Right. One that is the operating system, one that is the source, one that is the destination. Now, there are ways to get around that, but for simple and smooth and for general speaking purposes, that's where you need to be. So if you're trying to clone from a machine that is running Windows in real time, you're going to have all kinds of problems, is my guess.
Ah, okay. So
this goes a little bit to the having a tool is half the equation. The knowing how to use the tool is the other half. And so back up just one step and understand that there's a method sort of to the madness. Now, that's not to say that, and I'll get phone calls or emails, yes, there are ways to clone disk to disk without that configuration, plenty of them, but from the most simple standpoint, that's a sort of guaranteed one-size-fits-all-will-work result.
Uh-huh. Well, I do this every year, and every year I'm able to succeed, and last year I used Ghost 9, but I didn't use Live1 Care, and I didn't concern myself about the restore.
Yeah, in my experience, System Restore, Live1 Care, none of these things are going to matter at all in this process.
Okay.
Okay?
Well, then maybe it's just the tool that I'm using.
Could be. It also could be if it's an older version of a software, it may or may not work with certain technologies, like the newer SATA hard drives may or may not work with larger drives. There's a whole host of items that could be, so you might check to see if there's an update available for that software as well. Just another idea.
That same thing on the Mac platform as well. We always explain to the customers, it's like working on an engine that's running.
Right.
You can't really get in there and dig in. Same thing with utilities.
Right, working on the car as it's driving down the road, a little bit difficult.
Yeah.
Unless you're MacGyver, I think, in which case it's all good.
A little duct tape and some chewing gum, you're good.
We're going to take a quick time out here. We're going to get some duct tape and chewing gum. When we come back, more of your calls and questions and a little bit more about cybersecurity right here on the Computer Corner. Stick around. Google working on a new, is it software? Is it service? Is it both? Hard to say.
What isn't Google working on?
Google Wave. What's Google Wave? The easiest way at sort of describing or explaining Google Wave in a short couple of words. If email were to be invented today, what would it work like? What would it look like? What would it feel like? What would it act like? That's what they're attempting to sort of answer with Google Wave. And so it's speculated that it's more than just email. It's email with the ability to sort of morph into social networking and maybe also be an instant messaging application. And if people that you have in your address book are online, it would show their status as online. It seems to me that they already have that with Gmail, don't they? I mean, in Gmail, it does threaded emails. If people that you know are online, it shows them online. You can chat and talk with them in real time. You can share photo. Half the stuff they're describing that this Google Wave is supposed to do seems like it already does.
But it's got a catchy name.
Google Wave. Yeah. I remember doing the Wave at a football game once. It seemed cool at the time.
I remember having the Wave hairstyle.
Some would say you still have the Wave hairstyle.
Back when he used to listen to Flock of Seagulls.
Anyway, Google Wave. We'll have to watch the get. It's funny, Microsoft and Google always trying to sort of one-up each other. At the same time, that this is breaking news from the Google camp. Microsoft has breaking news that they're working on not a new search engine, because everybody has a search engine, and they already have one themselves called Live, which is trying to compete with Google, and Google's still the kings, right? We've all talked about that. Microsoft working on something called Bing, as in Bada Bing, right? That's not a search engine. No. It's a decision engine. Who knows? Both trying to one-up each other.
That's perfect for people that don't like to make decisions.
That's right. Decision a decision engine.
Now, where's the name Bing come from?
Who knows? It's you see the trend. I mean, Wave, short, one syllable. Bing, short, one syllable. Live, the trend is let's do short, catchy names, because the reality is we've run out of something unique that means something, and so we got to go to something short and catchy.
Well, yeah.
And think about Twitter. What does that mean, right?
Well, exactly. And the more ridiculous the name, the easier it is to remember.
And if you're a big company, you can afford to spend some dollars to brand something and try to go get the URL for something that has words that make sense. You can't. But Bing, yeah, maybe you could get that, because what's Bing? Oh.
Bing's what you get when you have an idea.
Bing! That's the light bulb.
That's it.
Anyway. Back to the phones. Up next, it's Kathy on the Computer Corner. Kathy, welcome. How can we help you?
Well, I have a 3-year-old Dell laptop computer that came with Trend PCLN, and never had a problem with it up until last week. I started getting these red boxes, red flags telling me the infiltration alert.
Okay.
And then I couldn't get online. It would tell me I couldn't display the page, so I called Dell. He went through and ran a malware bytes and anti-malware, and it said it found 31 serious alert threats. I thought he had fixed it, but last night I was on, and I started to get these red flags again. And so I downloaded Microsoft OneCare. Ever since then, I have not, and it did a full scan. It did find 5 serious threats. I'm okay. I'm getting online. My question is, I'm running the Trend, the PCLN, and the OneCare. Should I uninstall the PCLN?
Well, certainly, when it comes to the world of security software, antivirus software, that kind of thing, the theory of if one's good, 2 is better, and 3 is great does not apply. So,
okay.
At some point, we got to pick one and stick with it. Do you guys hear some wacky echo in your heads?
No. Well, I'm monotone, so.
Wow.
Well, my other thing.
Anyway, sorry, Kathy. So we should pick one and stick with it, whether that's the old one, the new one, a different one. That's sort of all up to you.
Okay.
But what I'll warn you is that, you know, Dell jumped on and did whatever they did. You've put this in there. My guess is that whatever you've got is going to come back, and it's going to keep coming back until a more thorough approach is taken, whether that's by you, whether that's by a friend, whether that's by a paid professional, however that's going to work. We see people all the time who keep getting infected and reinfected and reinfected over and over and over again, because the quick fix doesn't really address the root of the problem. It addresses the symptom. So you can keep running the way you are. And my guess, like I said, is that that's going to keep coming back. If you want to get into more in-depth things, generally speaking, for consumers, they would need to take the drive out of the machine and put it into another machine, or have a friend help them with such a thing to really get to the root of the problem and scan that outside of. Same kind of thing we talked about earlier, trying to work on an engine while it's running. Pretty difficult. You can't be nearly as thorough. And so time will tell. So you might want to give it a little time.
So you're telling me I'm really not out of the woods.
My guess is not, but it's hard to say. There's hundreds of thousands of viruses out there, depending on which one or ones you had. And it sounds like there were multiples in play.
It gave me several.
Hey Kathy. Kathy, I'm going to put you on hold. We got to go quick right back. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. We're talking about personal cybersecurity. We got resources, links, info, and good stuff in general posted for you. datadoctors.com/radio. That's where you'll find all the goods.
You know, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
We're talking about cybersecurity and antivirus protection and firewalls for Windows systems, but what I've noticed is there's been no calls for Apple. So I guess maybe, do they not get infected?
Apples don't break, sir.
They don't break.
Ask Lewis.
No, we've had this discussion.
Right.
Is that what Clint Eastwood puts under his shirt?
So Lewis, for those listening who don't know, runs a computer service and repair business where they specialize and focus solely on Apple computers.
And we're broke.
Well, but if apples don't break, how could you be in business?
Transferring data.
Dun, dun, dun.
Transferring data.
That's all you do?
Migrating, cloning.
And fixing up broken that.
I hear Apple's our new bulletproof vest, too.
You just stick them in front of you when somebody's shooting?
Yeah. Oh, you just tuck it under your shirt.
Nice. Oh, yeah. Did you see? Actually, that happened.
So,
of course.
So getting back to the topic, cybersecurity. In the Windows world, we've talked about some of the basics. You need a firewall. For most people, the one built into Windows, if you're running Windows XP or newer, is, I think, adequate. That's, again, for most users, not for all. Antivirus, anti-spyware, some kind of combination that does those two. And I don't believe in having a ton of other things. If they have a package in an additional layer of firewall protection, that's probably fine. Anything beyond that is probably getting a little nutso. That's beyond sort of then smart computing and being careful where you surf and not opening attachments and, you know, the rules of the road. That is the sum total of what I think most users reasonably need. In the Mac world now, what is it people need?
I mean, we don't use a lot. I mean, built into the operating system, you have firewall as well.
Okay, firewall.
That's under security and the system preferences.
Firewall check, and it's already there, and the one that's there pretty decent, does a good job.
Does a great job. It's not annoying. You don't have all sorts of pop-up windows. I know people that are really into monitoring what's going on, and they want to see incoming and outgoing traffic, tend to use Little Snitch.
Little Snitch is a program, yeah. You can get that on the Apple, and it lets you have a geek's eye view of what's happening, and for most people, it's probably way too much information, but it's there, it's out there, it's available.
I had to kind of dumb it down because it was just a little too annoying for me.
Yeah, I installed it, tried it out, went, ugh. No thanks.
And if you really want to look at spyware and things like that, there's not much available for the on the Mac side, but there is a program called MacScan.
MacScan.
And it's fairly reputable, and we have used it in the past, and do sell the product.
Do you run it on your computer?
Yeah, I've done it.
I don't
currently run it. No.
Why?
Because they don't really affect anything. They don't affect the performance of the computer. It's not an annoyance.
For a guy like you that knows better than to click on what to us are fairly obvious things and no need, but what about for average Joe user? If you were setting up a Mac for your mom, would you put that stuff on for her?
Probably not. Because
I don't
need anything hindering my performance of my computer running in the background, which is what we've been talking about with
right.
the PC folk.
Right. At some point in the Windows world, there was a time when we didn't need that either. And it's not because Microsoft is sloppy. All programmers are sloppy. All programmers are lazy. Let's just get that straight. It's just because it's more vulnerable because people go after it more. If things keep going the way they're going with Apple's gaining popularity, it's only a matter of time before your landscape's going to change too, where it's going to be sort of a requirement. It's just not there today.
It's only inevitable.
Right. So at some point, what we're talking about today, you can be sure it will change. The advice will change. What's needed will change. The recommendations will change. All those things change over time. That's just inherent in what we do.
And again, it goes back to that popularity contest. Windows was the most dominant platform on Earth
that
for
means it's
years
the best.
And years and years.
That means it's the best.
And, why not attack the best?
That's right. Go after the best. All right, we've got lots more show left, a full half hour. Your calls, your questions, a little bit more about cybersecurity, although we won't beat that to death, so don't worry. We got a line open, 602-277-5827. We got Mark, who wants to talk a little bit more about that in private browsing thing we talked about. We might have touched a nerve there. And a few others with various issues. Cecilia, Dave, Ernesto, you all sit tight. We're going to get to you, I promise, in just a moment. If for some reason we don't get you on there, we will get you after the fact. So definitely stick around. We want to help you. And stick around for the show. Lots more to go. Cool stuff. You don't want to miss it. So should we clue everybody in on the conversation we were having off air?
Yeah, I think we should.
We should. We were talking about Apple's never dying, and Lewis came up with an idea. The way to solve all your problems in the Windows world is to get an Apple sticker, put it on the outside of your machine. Problem solved.
No viruses.
Can't break then. seriously, people come in. You were saying people come in all the time.
Yeah, sure. People will come into the store and say, I've got a PC, it just crashed, had a virus, was loaded with spyware and all this garbage. I want to get a Mac, and I'm going to install Windows on it.
And so what they don't get and this is kind of big, and this does tie into the cybersecurity thing we're talking about. In the Windows world, the operating system and software is separate from the hardware. So your machine is built by Dell or HP or by the mighty Data Doctors, of course, right? By somebody. But that's separate and distinct from the people who make the operating system, Microsoft. And the two get combined to deliver the computer, right, the PC, to you. In the Mac world, the hardware and the operating system are delivered by the same company. So Apple is the manufacturer of the hardware, but they also make the software, Mac OS, that gets loaded. And so that's where the difference comes into play. And that's why there's a difference in its ability to work maybe more efficiently in some cases, to use less hardware to get the same kind of output. If they have direct control over the hardware and the software, there are far fewer combinations of things to go wrong, or problems to exist, or issues, or drivers, or all those things.
Well, because when you have these third-party manufacturers, you have these issues, and you know, one engineer doesn't talk to the other engineer, and all of a sudden the OS and the application that they've developed clashes, and it doesn't function properly, or causes glitches.
Yeah. But it's worse than that. It's not just the OS and the application, which you still deal with in the Mac world. There's all kinds of other things, like drivers. In the Mac world, same company does the OS and the drivers, because guess what? It's their machine. You also pay a little bit more of a premium for the machine, right? You pay more. There's no question about that. But when you go out and buy that Mac computer and then load the Windows operating system, don't be lulled into the same false sense of security that you have a machine that's impenetrable. While the Mac OS may have less vulnerabilities out there, the Apple computer loaded with the Windows OS has exactly the same issues, problems, and vulnerabilities that all of us that run Windows face.
And I'd say 70% of the machines that come in with Windows installed on them have no virus software.
No antivirus software. They just surf, and they're lulled into a false sense of security. They do things that they would never dream of doing, thinking that the device is what is preventing the breakage. And this is where computer warranties and service and maintenance and these blurry lines all come together here. Well, and people think that a warranty ought to cover everything, and they don't understand that the hardware is not the problem. You shouldn't be mad at Dell or HP necessarily, and you shouldn't even necessarily be mad at Microsoft. It's a lot more complex than that. These are not toasters. These are not DVD players. These are not one-use appliances. These are every use I can think of appliances that change and that store all your information. You don't, with a DVD player, the software ejects and you put another one in, and there's no way you can modify it. The Transformers disc you put in, you take it out and you put it on a shelf, and you don't create your own movie. And if you do, it's a movie that's captured on a disc and that's it, right? It's very simple. In your computer, it's very, very different. The software you put in is customized and personalized for every single person that does it. Very, very different.
See, I've got a great idea now, even better than the first one.
Yeah.
We could sell the stickers for $200 a piece, and you get a placebo effect, you know, right, the sense of security, and, you know, we can brand it. And
you think Apple will be cool with that?
I don't know. You know,
we don't use an Apple. Maybe we use like a plum or a peach.
Well, if you do the Apple, you could just move the stem to the other direction, and that isn't copyright.
We'll modify it a little. Yeah. Just a little bit.
Maybe have a worm come out of it.
I think that the worm is getting rid of that sense of security.
The worm is the virus.
All right, let's jump back on the phones. We have Mark, who's been hanging out for quite a while. Mark, welcome to the Computer Corner.
Hi.
How can we help, sir?
Well, two things. First, I have a Windows 64-bit operating system, and about 3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago, I tried to download the Internet Explorer 8. Had all kinds of problems, so I had to uninstall it. Do you know if they fixed that problem? And secondly, you were talking about the in-private browsing, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that may be stealth at your computer, but it's not stealth to the extent that, you know, your Internet provider has a record of all IP addresses you go to. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. If you're out there doing things that are borderline or beyond borderline illegal, don't think that this is going to save you and solve that problem. That's not what it's meant to do. It's meant to just simply take out a huge vulnerability that exists for certain kinds of web transactions where little bits and pieces are stored on your computer. This bypasses all that.
I just thought in the way that you were presenting it being stealth, I thought maybe that should be clarified. There's a lot of listeners out there.
You bet. I appreciate that, Mark, because, there's, well, I won't say there's no way, but there's no practical way to be completely anonymous on the internet today, unless you want to get into some really crazy stuff. So, yeah. Anyway, to your other question, I'm imagining that this is not the first issue you've had with your 64-bit machine, and it won't be the last. In my opinion, 64-bit is nowhere near ready for prime time, but for some reason, it's been out there for now a couple of years, being touted as something ready to rock and roll. And the browser, as a great example, when you install the 64-bit OS from Windows, it comes with two versions of the same browser already there, a 32-bit version and a 64-bit version.
That's right.
Which sort of tells you that the when you're going to go to upgrade or get a newer version, you're going to have to go look and find the 64-bit version of Internet Explorer 8 and get that. And just installing Internet Explorer 8 generically may or may not properly detect that your machine is this high-fangled advanced system that it is.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You bet. So, I'd give that another shot and go give that a download and just make sure you're getting the right version for what you've got. And this only applies to a very small set of people out there. So, if you're confused at all by what we're saying, probably doesn't apply to you. It's okay. And for the record, I wouldn't go down that 64-bit road today. When you're going to buy a new computer, if it comes with 64-bit XP, Vista, whatever, I'd hold off. I'd simply hold off because we see lots of problems with those machines, and it's just not ready yet. And very little is going to take advantage of all that technology and things that's in there anyway, so do yourself a favor. Hold off.
Well, because you have issues with the drivers, correct? I mean, this is where...
It's everything. It's not... to properly run in a 64-bit world, you have to have the operating system that's 64-bit. You have to have the processor that's 64-bit. You have to have 64-bit drivers. And then, the most important part, you have to have applications designed to work with 64-bit. And unless you have all four of those things in place, you're either, at best, not getting the extra that you've paid for, and at worst, you're getting conflict and problems. And so, just do yourself a favor, avoid that, at least for now. Ooh, you're going to be excited, Lewis. Wait till you find out what Jay wants to talk about. Jay, welcome to the Computer Corner.
Hi, how are you?
Real good. How can we help you, sir?
I have an iMac in my recording studio, and I had a PC. I've got a PC, and you guys told me 7 years ago, defrag a hard drive once in a while, and it worked great. My studio-specific software became extremely stable, never crashed, and so I defragged after every recording session. My iMac is becoming unstable, and I am guessing that I could prevent all these crashes during sessions if I defrag the hard drive.
If only you could defrag on the iMac.
That's what I was told. It's automatic.
It's automatic.
Yeah, it's HFS plus journaled, which means...
Oh, whoa. Back up, back away from the steak knife. Okay, so in the Mac OS, what Lewis just threw out there, what the path he's going down is that the file system itself, the way Apple's computers and Macs store data is a significantly different file system than we use in the Windows world. And supposedly that file system, and the technical term, HPFS plus journaled, that file system isn't subject to needing to be defragged or indexed or whatever the case is.
So when it says I have 1 gig left on my 160-gig hard drive, that's only what I have left, no matter what I do.
Well, defragging is never going to change the amount of free drive space, and that's true in a Windows world, a Linux world, and in your world, in my world, in everybody's world.
Yeah, one thing
all defragging programs do is rearrange where the data bits are stored to make them contiguous or as contiguous as possible.
Right. Well, I'm on my PC. It did give me more free space, but could be remembering wrong.
Yeah. What actually is happening on your PC? It's not actually clearing any more free space. It's going back and in the process of rearranging all the bits.
Yeah.
It's recapturing where things are stored and realizing, oops, I have more free space than I thought I had. It's actually just correcting its own sort of internal memory.
Oh, okay.
So, Lewis, you got some advice or options for him?
Yeah, one of the few utility applications that I actually use is a program called Disk Warrior. I'm not sure if you've heard of that or have that, but what it does is it rebuilds the directory structure.
Disk Warrior, this is one of those, it's a for Mac only, and obviously, if you listen to the program, you know we tell you to back up. But this program, if used incorrectly, can cause you some damage to your data.
Any of those utility programs can.
So make sure you're backed up. And if you're a newbie, a beginner, or anything along those lines, probably stay away from Disk Warrior. Otherwise, if you are like Jane, you need to do a little tweaking.
It will optimize it a little better.
Okay. Yeah, I went into applications and did something, disk something, and it scans this and scans USB and all that other stuff.
Yeah, you were in applications and under utilities. There's a thing called Disk Utility.
Right.
And there you repair permissions is what you're typically doing.
That's not going to really optimize or enhance performance at all for you. So if you're looking for something, third party is the way to go on that. And
Go third party. Check out DiskWarrior.com and see if that's something that might help you out.
But also, it will not give me any actual more free space?
No more free space, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But a bigger hard drive would.
More free space is either delete or bigger hard drive. Those are your choices.
Yeah. Okay, can you maybe off-air give me an idea of the cost of putting in a bigger hard drive?
Absolutely.
Hang on a second, Jay. I'm going to pop you right back where I found you, which is on hold. And Lewis will grab you in just a second. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, more of your calls and questions. It's the Computer Corner. Stick around. Welcome back. It's the final segment here on the Computer Corner. If you missed any part of the show, where do they go, Robert?
They go to datadoctors.com/radio.
That's where they go. And right now, you'll see resources, you'll see links, you'll see helpful information about how to take control of your personal cybersecurity. But of course, after the show, the audio archives, we post it up there for your perusal. And the Wayback Machine is right there in the form of the previous shows button. You can go back years and years and years, listen to the audio archives on demand. You can check out resources from past shows. You can see all kinds of cool stuff there. So check that out, datadoctors.com/radio, for those that missed any parts of the show and want to get themselves caught up. Of course, you can also subscribe to our podcast. The easiest way is open up your iTunes software and just type in Data Doctors. Data space Doctors. When you do that, you'll be presented with the podcast. You can listen to one, or you can subscribe and get them all in real time as they're posted and delivered right to your computer and or device. So check those things out. We won't deal with the where to find us on Facebook and Twitter and all those things are available out there. If you get our newsletter, you'll see them. If you're at the website anywhere, you'll see them. It's easy stuff. However you want to do your thing, we're doing it with you. So check all that stuff out. Let's see if we can finish up with the couple remaining callers here and hook them up with Mad Knowledge, which is what we do. Dave, you're up next on the Computer Corner. How can we help?
Hey, how are you today?
Great.
Hey, I have a problem. I realized that I found out we bought a new digital camera, and I was trying to, my wife downloaded it into her, and everything works fine. And I transferred the folder to me.
Two different computers are we talking about here?
No, same computer. We have our own zones, our own email addresses.
Okay.
My wife, me, and my children. And we limit access for them, you know, to certain things for websites, stuff, try to control it. It's not perfect.
Yep.
But once you download it, I've done it in the past with our other cameras and it's had no problem. But then now it's, I don't know if it's because of the security software or the camera. When I it transfers fine into my files, the folder.
Hey,
the
Dave, pictures. This is so that we can, we're running short on time. So
jump right
to the issue.
When I try to open the pictures in my zone, I get a message that says, limited user, go to control panel,
okay.
File,
folder. So I'm going to make this really simple for you. I already know where we're going here.
Okay.
You need to log out of the computer as you log in as her, meaning your wife.
Uh-huh.
Go into the control panel, under users, go find you as a user, and you're going to need to modify your user permissions and make yourself a computer administrator.
That's, okay.
It's the simplest way to get from here to there, but you have a limited role account. Meaning,
yeah, I don't want to shut it off for the children.
Right. So the kids log into something different, so leave their login alone. You're going to play with Dave's login.
Okay.
All right. The other thing I'm going to mention real quick, if you've got what's built into Windows as some protection for your kids, that's okay. If you want something quite a bit better and it's free, commit this website or write it down. Commit it to memory. Ready?
Okay.
K9 Web Protection. The letter K, the number 9, like a dog, right? Web Protection, all one word, no spaces, dashes, anything, .com. So K9WebProtection.com. Go there, get that software. It's free, and it gives you a lot more control as your kids especially start to grow. You're going to need some more things to help be that digital babysitter.
Okay.
Remember also, there's no replacement for you and watching them. So if you have teenagers or you're going to have teenagers someday, don't let them have computers in their own room.
Okay.
Recipe for disaster. If you don't believe me, go on MySpace. You'll see it everywhere.
Okay.
The computer needs to be in some place that's ultra visible so that what they do can be seen by everyone anytime.
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
All right, thank you.
All right, Dave, thanks for the call. Bye-bye. I know I went a little nuts on him there, but he's got to know.
You're a little militant.
A little militant. You know what, Ernesto and Cecilia? I know both of you have been hanging out there for a while. I'm going to have you hang out there for just a minute more because there's not going to be enough time to take you on the air. And if we try, we're just going to hurt ourselves and you. So sit tight. We're going to grab you in just a moment. We're just getting ready to sign off here and give way to Dr. Sam Benjamin. If you need, well, you just need to listen to him because he's going to talk about all kinds of stuff medically related. And he'll hook you up with good advice to keep you healthier than you are today. So stay tuned for that. Again, if you missed any part of the show, datadoctors.com/radio, that will hook you up. Now, we've got a couple of show ideas that we spun off from this week. The whole cars and technology and how that works with computers, that's an idea there.
We had iPhone applications.
iPhone applications.
You know, they do those commercials about all the cool apps, but maybe just a show all about iPhone apps.
Sure.
Yeah, we could do something like that. You know what? People listening, if you've got ideas, we'd love to hear from you if you like either of those ideas or other ones we've mentioned. Easiest place, datadoctors.com/radio. Right there where it says make a suggestion, there's a button for it. Click. Give us your suggestions. I promise you, if they're good, they're going to be part of the show. We'll give you credit for it. That's cool. We've been doing this show so long that we'd love to get more people to give us more feedback about what they want to hear, what they want to talk about, what they want to discuss, what they want to hear us blabber about. So hook us up. datadoctors.com/radio. Make a suggestion. Until next time, remember, when it comes to your computer and technology in general, if you don't need it, don't install it.